Training my sorrows one more again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I know that's not technically correct. One more again. Amen. But I heard that somewhere. Sounds good. Feel good. So we'll have a little reprise. Amen. Amen. So if y'all want to join in, let's trade in. Amen. Just do soul and worship. Let's trade in our sorrows, whatever we're going through. Let's trade in our shame. And let's just lay it right here.
time we want to dismiss the children. And while the children are dismissing, we're going to turn to James chapter 2. Amen. We're going to dismiss the children this time. The songwriter says, yes, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is true. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. As the children are dismissing, we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from James chapter 2. Amen. Truly, we thank God that in spite of the bad weather, God still is a keeper.
Amen.
As bad as it was, it could have been that much worse. But indeed, God is good. We just thank God for all of His goodness, all of His mercies. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits unto me? Tonight, that is the question we should ask ourselves. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits unto me? And he concluded that I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Tonight, we're living in such a challenging time spiritually. A lot of us are in church, but we are not exactly where we ought to be in church. Amen. Church has almost become second nature instead of first nature. Amen. We don't praise or realize where our help comes from.
Amen.
That's all right. Amen. Oh, my. Many of us have failed to realize where our help comes from. Amen. But it seems like we like to use God's sword as a messenger boy. Lord, when I'm in trouble, I need you.
Come on, Lord.
But when everything is all right, I don't need you.
Talk about
it. Amen. We just take God's goodness for granted. Amen. How good He's been to us. We fail to think of His goodness to us. You know, it is when we're in trouble, but we don't know what to do, we know to go to God. But it seems like as soon as God smooths the trouble away, or as soon as He makes a way out of no way, we seem to forget.
Yes.
And that was the number one thing God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Beware.
Come on.
Beware.
Come on.
Lest thou forget. He said, when you live in the houses that you did not build.
Come on.
When you drink from the fountains of the wells that you did not dig. He said, when you eat from the vineyards that you did not plant. He said, beware when you are blessed that you don't forget the Lord that brought you out.
Amen.
And I know we love the Lord, and I know we love His presence, and I know we love all that God has done, but there are times we seem to forget what God has done for us. He said, well, Lord, how can we show you how grateful we are for what you've done in our lives? The psalmist said, I'll take the cup of salvation. And in the book of Isaiah, it's talking about God. It says, Lord, there was a time in my life when you were angry at me. There was a time in my life when, Lord, I just couldn't get it together. Spiritually, I was out of tune. But Isaiah said, Lord, but thou hast turned my anger into comfort. He said, God, you are my salvation. In thee will I trust, and in thee will I have my confidence. Isaiah goes on to say concerning the Lord is my salvation. He is my song, and God is my strength. He said, therefore, with joy shall I draw waters out of the well of salvation. A lot of us have lost our joy out of salvation. Amen. A lot of our lives just seem to allow things to get the best of us. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day that God set me free spiritually. The day that God before the second chapter, and then after I go to more of the scriptures. Okay, do we all have it? Verse 1 reads, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man with vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you that in spite of the tropical storm, that we're still standing strong. Lord, we thank you this evening that in spite of the whirlwinds that are blowing all around us, we're still standing on your word. Lord, we're still standing on your promises. Lord, that we have not let go. Father God, this evening we ask you to speak to every need. Lord, search every heart. Lord, try every mind. Lord, make us to know our end in the middle of our days, what it is, that we may know how frail that we are. Lord, we ask you tonight not to withdraw thyself from us. Lord, for if you withdraw yourself from us, Lord, whither shall we go? But Lord God, as the word of God said, is once again we lift our eyes to your holy hill, from whence cometh all our help. And Lord, speak tonight. Lord, speak plainly and clearly. Then give us a mind to hide our word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, order our steps through thy word, for thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now speak, for thy servant hears. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen. Truly we thank God this evening for all of his benefits. The greatest thing about God is that in him we have nothing more than benefits. Amen. We're going to go back to James chapter 2. Then I'm going to read a little more. I'm going to read a little more in James chapter 2. Tonight, if you were to place a value on salvation, your personal evaluation of salvation, what would your personal evaluations for salvation be concerning not everybody else and God, but you and God? Because the Bible lets us know that when our time here is up, we're going to all have to stand individually before God. The husband, I love my wife, but I can't stand for her. And I know my wife loves me, she can't stand for me. The parents can't stand for the children. In the time we stand before God, we have to all give an account to God for ourselves. But what does the Bible say about our judgment? It begins when? Now, when? So our judgment is not based on anyone else but us. Amen. God, the Bible says, seeth not as man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on our heart. James chapter 2, I'm going to start reading here again in verse 1. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Amen. We are all God's children.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there is a time that we grow up and we get caught up in what used to be a part of the caste system in India. India had a caste system where their value was completely dependent upon their class, but not in God. Amen. We are all one in God. He said that when it comes to dealing with faith, when it comes to dealing with the church, don't do it with respect of persons. Amen. When we're dealing with one another, we don't despise one and lift the other up. The scripture said, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. He said, for if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man and vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that hath torn the gatefold. Verse 4 reads, are ye not then what? Partial in yourselves. We like to judge people based on what we see. God says, no, I don't want you to judge based on what you see. He said in the latter part of that, he said, but when you do that, you become judges of what kind of thoughts? God does not judge us. Every day, God gives us what kind of mercy? New mercy. His mercies are new every morning. So he said, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with an evil thought. Well, how do I have an evil thought? By judging one another. I'll say amen. Amen. Let's get down to verse 9. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. Verse 9 reads, but if ye have respect to person, ye commit. God says, I don't like it. Amen. Brothers, stop judging your brothers. Sisters, stop judging your sisters. You all stop judging one another. Amen. God requires us to pray for one another. He never requires us to judge one another. When you start making your own personal evaluation, the Bible says you become partial. And you become judges of what kind of thoughts? Well, you don't have to say it, but that's what he says. Amen. You become judges of evil thoughts. And he goes on to say, verse 9 once again, but if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Well, why? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? If you keep the whole law and ye offend in one point, the scripture says you're guilty of what? All. Amen. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And that law of liberty is the word of God. Amen. Now, we're going to come back to this momentarily, but for just a moment. Just repeat. It says, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in what? He that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. He that said, do not kill, says also, do not steal. Amen. He that said, do not steal, also said, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long. He goes on to say that we should not commit adultery. It says, have no other God before me. These are all the books of the law. Amen. All the works of the law. Now let us turn to Matthew chapter 5. And if we were to have a topic for our message tonight, we would have asked you a question and ask myself as well, do you have a tailor-made salvation? Well, what is tailor-made? Any of you ever had cold clothes together? Well, that was how when we were growing up, they used to pay for having a lot of these shirts tailor-made. They would go out and personally get their shirt made. But I was so cheap, I wouldn't get my shirts tailored. I would squeeze into Joe's shirts. He used to say, will you please stop wearing my clothes? No, no, I don't want to pay $40 to have somebody make a shirt. And his shirts were pretty nice. So, you know, I'm always a little bigger, so I would like the Incredible Hulk. Because I'd be squeezing in his clothes trying to wear them. But tailor-made means when you get something tailored, it's made to fit you. Well, God does not have a tailor-made salvation. Tailor-made salvation means I'm going to do the things that fit me. A tailor-made salvation is the things that fit me. So what might fit me? I am not you, and I don't do what you do. God only has one salvation.
Right.
God does not have a tailor-made salvation. If that's the case, if you got a church of 30 or 40 or 50, you got 50 different salvations. Why? Because I'm going to take this part of the word of salvation, but not that part. He said, well, brothers and sisters, if you are guilty in one point, then you are just as guilty in what?
All.
So tonight, do we have a tailor-made salvation? A tailor-made salvation is this. I know what the word says, but it's my thing, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I guess y'all people see how a new saying now, you're going to do you or something like that. Is that what it is? That's called, and that turned out right now? Do you? No, you better do Jesus. Because if you're guilty and God does not have a tailor-made salvation. If he says that one should, we should supposed to show love, we are all supposed to show. If we're not supposed to be partial in our judgment and working with each other, we're supposed to do it to all. It's unfortunate today, we are so quick to judge one another. We're so quick to point a finger at one another. Well, the scripture says when you do that, you have become partakers of what kind of thoughts?
Evil
thoughts. God never called us to judge. His only thing about judge was judge ourselves. And you have no need to be judged. Well, when we are so high and mighty, when we are so holy and righteous, we call everybody else sins to the table, and we don't judge ourselves, you have a tailor-made salvation. Because your salvation is designed to fit you. But in the church of God, it should never be that way. Verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5. And then we go to Mark chapter 13 after this. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 5. Now, I know you all are paying attention, so I'm not going to ask you to say amen. Just keep up with me. How's that?
Amen.
All right. Verse 17 says, think not that I have come to destroy the law. Jesus said, though I am coming to usher in grace, I'm not here to destroy the law. The law still stands. He says, are the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all is. A jot and tittle, God said, not the smallest iota. Not the tittle was when they just make a little accent mark, the smallest part. He said, from the smallest letter to the smallest accent will be fulfilled. Because this is my word. And he goes on to say, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called by what? Least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great. The Bible says we ought to be doers of the word and not what? When you become a hearer only, you have a tailor-made salvation. Because you only apply what you want to apply. And then in verse 20, right? For I said to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you can't be like everybody else. He said you have to be different because if you're guilty in one point, he that said, do not do this, also said, do not do that. He that said, do not let the wrath go settle down on your point of wrath, is the one that says also you are to love one another. So you can't pick and choose. Because God does not have a tailor-made salvation. He says it plainly. The latter part of verse 5 is last part of verse 20 says, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Well, why not? Because it's important that we keep the whole law. If, you know, we feel as though God understands who I am and you don't know what I've gone through all of my life. The Bible says concerning Jesus, he was in all points tempted like as we are, but what? Yet without sin. He feels all of our infirmities. Why? Because he came to live so he could experience for us. Therefore, when he goes before our Father as our intercessor, amen, he is our high priest, he's our intercessor. So when he goes before God, and we go before God in prayer, he stands and says, Lord, have mercy. I experienced it. I know what they're going through, but we must do it God's way. We can't continue to live saved and do it our way. It says, except your righteousness, what? Exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, who were the scribes and the Pharisees? They were the religious righteous. But their righteousness was based on an outward show. And in their heart, it was not changed. Now let's go to Mark chapter 13. If you're guilty in one point of the law, you're guilty in what? All points of the law. Mark 13. Tailor-made salvation. You know, you ever see some people, they say, well, that's good enough for everybody else, but I am not him, and I'm not her, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. God says, what? I say unto one. I say unto what? All. And that's what we're going to go over here in Mark chapter 13. And we're going to go to verse 37, I believe it is. So, what is it like? 35. All right. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 13 says, watching therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you. It's high time, brothers and sisters, to what? Awake out of sleep. Why should we awake out of sleep? Because now is our salvation nearer, not further. Amen. Our salvation, every day we live, our salvation is getting nearer. Every day we live, we're getting closer to him calling our number and calling our name. Therefore, he says, because your salvation is nearer, you need to watch. You may stay alert. Spiritually, you must be watching. Amen. You should not let that day overtake you as a thief, because you know that the law is coming. So he said, lest coming suddenly he findeth you asleep. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. And he says, do what? Watch. Well, the deception that's taking place is that the church, in many of our lives, we forgot to make God our number one priority. So when we make our decisions, we do not make decisions based on God and his word. We make it based on the law of the scribes and the Pharisees. What is right before men? When the scripture says that God, when we appear, he's going to judge the secrets of our hearts by the gospel. Why the gospel? Because it's the perfect law of liberty. Now let's go back to James chapter 2. He's going to judge our hearts based on the word of God. James chapter 2, and then we go to James chapter 1. James chapter 2, and we're going to read the latter part of verse 12. Verse 12 of James chapter 2. When God judges us, he's going to judge us based on the word. In the book of Revelation, it says, the what were opened? The books. What books? Genesis through Revelation. We are going to be judged based on the word of God. Amen. So if you have a tailor-made salvation, you know, some of us like the scriptures. Let's pick on the men, because we'll be all right. Some of us like the salvation about love, but we don't like men. You have to love your wives the way Christ loved the church. Well, that is a commandment from God. So you can say, well, I don't believe that we have to do it that way. No, the only way you got to do it is like the word says. So no matter how much they get on your nerves, it says you have to honor them as the what? Weaker vessel. Men today are almost, some men, not humanity, they are so weak-minded that they cry more than women. It says, honor the woman as a what? Weaker vessel. Well, it's hard for me to do that, but guess what, brothers? If you read the latter part of that verse, you're what? Your prayers will be answered. All right, so now I'm going to mess with you ladies, because if you go home the same one way, tell the husband to love the wife. He said, women also what? Submit yourselves to your own
husband
as unto the Lord. Well, you don't know how he is, it doesn't matter. As long as he's not telling you to sin, you're supposed to submit. As long as he's not telling you to go contrary, you're supposed to. Well, I don't think that's what he means. You can't make a personal salvation. You can't tell me. You have to apply it. Amen. And now, you want to get even worse, it says, like Eve honored Abraham by calling him what? We don't want to do all that stuff. But what I'm saying is basically this. We have Sarah, Eve, they all run together. Same lineage. Let's talk about the spirit. And Sarah on Abraham. But what we're saying is this. Where the wrong beast grows, we have to live the word. Many of us think that when I get in my house, I have another law that I go by. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because when you get rash with your mouth, you're guilty in. Did you guilty in? I didn't see it. The word said. Now when I'm in public, I'm like an angel. But when I'm behind closed doors, I'm another Irene. I call nothing but havoc and destruction. Well, that's not God. Oh, sorry. Not that Irene, I'm talking about the storm. The storm Irene. Oh, that's right. Well, they said he's coming. So we got Irene then. We have to live it. When you don't live it according to the scripture, then you just tailor-made your salvation. And your salvation fits only you. Well, such and such, you know, who does that? I don't think men do that, right? All right. But when you start doing all this extra stuff, whether you're male or female, that's not God. We want to do the things that incur God's blessings and not God's anger. We want to do the things that incur God's blessings and not his anger. Well, how can we do it? By taking heed thereto according to his word. So the left portion of James chapter 2 verse 12 says, so speak ye and so, can we read this together? So what?
Speak ye.
Speak ye and what?
So do.
As they that shall be judged by the what? Law of liberty. That is the word of God. Now let's go to James chapter 1. I must be creating my own way up here, son. I just use that. Go to James chapter 1. Do you have a tailor-made salvation? Amen. When nobody sees you but God. The Bible says concerning Nathanael. I believe when Andrew went to get Nathanael and Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no God, no deceit, no craftiness, no trying to masquerade like they're one thing in representation of another. And then Nathanael says to Jesus, well, how do you know this about me? He said, before Andrew came to get you, he said, I saw you where you were. God sees us where we are. We think that God don't see us. He doesn't have to be invisible to see us. So he told Nathanael, he said, before he came to get you, I saw you where you were. And because Nathanael knew what he was doing, he said, truly, thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. Why? God sees us all in our private time. Mm-hmm. God sees us all where we are. Even though you say, well, I would do this and I would do that, whether you're male or female, God sees you where you are. And if you are guilty in one point, you're just as guilty in all. He that said that thou art not to kill also said you're supposed to love your brothers and sisters. And it says, do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Well, I can't stand to be around the saints. I feel more comfortable around my friends or my family. You just tell them it's your salvation. Because the Bible says, do good unto who? Especially. I mean, we're not to live around the saints. But I'm saying this. What I'm saying is, we can't place those that are unsaved above the saved. Because God requires that we love one another, especially the household of faith. But it says, let your light so shine before your family, that they may see your works. You can't have evil works when you're dealing with people in your family and they're not saved. How can your works be evil? They're not going to glorify God when you're acting ungodly. When you're acting like them, how can they glorify God when you are not a light? The Bible says about Jesus, he was in the world. The world was made by him. He was the light of the world and the light. The darkness could not comprehend him. Wherever we go, brothers and sisters, we have to let our light shine. James chapter 1. And we're going to start off at verse, there's so many good scriptures here, let's see which one. Let's start off at verse 19. This is God's word. And we do well that we take heed. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear and be swift to hear and be slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Amen. Don't go from a normal temperament to an angry, volatile temperament in a hurry. He said, be slow to speak. Be slow to wrath, but be swift to hear. Amen. Take time to hear God in the midst of confusion. Because when you start acting out, that is a telling salvation. And that is not God.
Right.
Says, for the wrath of man will, I'm going to add this part, will never work the righteousness of God.
Right.
So when you get angry, the Bible says, shut it up and close it down. When you get angry, shut it up and close it down. You know why? Because you will, it's like the scripture says in Proverbs, when you get angry, that's like a fire. Then when you don't shut it up and close it down, you start throwing wood on the fire. And what happens when you throw wood on the fire? It intensifies and burns more. So he says, when you get to this point, I want you to be swift to hear, but shut it down. Kill that wrath. Kill that anger. Kill that tongue, which the Bible calls a world of iniquity and an unruly. He says, we got to shut it down. Amen. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, therefore, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with it. Lord, I realize that in my present state, I'm not what I ought to be. But I want to receive your word so that it can work on me. Receive with. I'm humble. Don't ever come to church saying to God to be so proud that God's word can't penetrate your heart. That's why he said, give me a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. Receive with meekness.
your engrafted word. In other words, that word has been planted down in your soul. The engrafted word means it's planted. God has it take root down in your soul so that it can grow. Receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. But be what? Doers of the word and not every time you work on your tailor-made salvation, your scripture letter says you do what? Deceive yourselves. When you become a hearer, I hear it, but I can't make myself do it. The Bible calls that being lifted up in pride. Pride will stop you from receiving God's word with meekness. Well, why? The Bible says concerning Lucifer that he was created beautiful. He was the best that God had made. But in his heart, he was lifted up with pride. You can read about it later in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. It talks about in his heart, he was lifted up. So time he got lifted up, God sent him down. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride cometh before destruction. Pride cometh before destruction, and holy are lifted up spirit before a fall. When you see someone full of pride and someone lifted up, you're guaranteed they're going to fall, because that's the word of God. And then Proverbs chapter 11 verse 1 says, a false spiritual balance is an abomination before the Lord. A false balance is an abomination before the Lord, but a just weight. In other words, we got to live, we got to do the word of God, we have to do what's right. A just weight, what is just? Doing what is righteous. A just weight, the Bible says, is his delight. And then if you go to the seventh chapter, the same Proverbs chapter 11, it talks about pride once again. If you become so lifted up and you refuse to submit to God's word, you're guaranteed eventually to fall, because God sees us where we are. All right, the latter part of chapter 2, we keep saying, reading, it says, but be doers of the word and not what? In other words, if you hear it, do it. Now, if you hear it, you know, sometimes you say, you know, all of that's what meant for me. Jesus said, what I say unto one, I say unto what? All. So whatever he says is meant for us. Amen. And he gives all the illustrations in James. If he says this, he also means that. If he says that, he also means the other. Now, if you leave out one point of scripture, you're guilty of all. You know, a lot of times in church, we feel as though, you know, I'm saved, and all I have to do is speak to those that are saved. Jesus asked them a question. He said, well, now the hypocrites and the Pharisees speak to their own. And if you're saved, he said, what do you more if you only speak to your own? God requires that we let our light shine before what kind of man? Well, when I'm at work, I don't have time for that salvation stuff. Right? When I'm at work, I got business to take care of. Still saved.
Come on, man. Come on.
Salvation isn't in church or at home. Salvation is something we live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Break it down.
We're saved all the time, so God requires it all the time.
Man.
Somebody just cut me off on the road, you're still saved.
Right.
And God expects you to react and say, you know, sometimes the boss can, you know how those bosses are? Right? They can rub you the wrong way, you still got to let your light shine. You still don't let it shine, because you are a child of the King. And we have to be doers of the word and not what? Hearers. He has another word after that. Hearers. Hearers what? Only. Because when you become a hearer and not a doer of the word, you do what? Deceive your own self. I'll let you see up there, but it's ready before I go to the next verse. For if any man hear of the word and not endure, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know what that means?
You're looking in a what? Mirror. Go ahead. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. When you are here, do you forget what manner of man you are? Then that's what a telemate salvation is. In. Can you be such and such, did this, did that, did the other? And you're doing the same thing. So you forget what manner of person you are. Why? Because you're not being a doer of the word. The word is not planted in your heart. You're only a hearer. But whoso? Now remember we said, judge by the perfect law, judge by the law of liberty. Now we said, whoso looketh into the what? Perfect law of liberty. So we read it, we know it, so that's good enough. No. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, then you have what? Continue therein. You can't just know it from the outside. You must what? Continue therein. He being not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the what? Work. Not words. But a doer of the work. You have to do something. You got to do something. You can't just say, I know it. You know, at many times we like to use so many excuses for not excelling to the glorification of God. Because we refuse to do the work. We are judged by our works. The Bible says, as his works shall be. God will judge us based on our work. But until we make salvation, say, you know what? That's all right for brothers so and so with you. God doesn't mean that for me. What he says unto one, he says unto all. The husband said, well, you know God said you're supposed to be obedient. He also said, husband, you're supposed to love your wives. As Christ loved the church. And because Christ loved the church, what did he do? He gave himself. And the scripture says, no man ever hurts himself, but he cherished and loved himself. So ought the man to love his wife. And then on the flip side, why God gives us a commandment also. You're supposed to honor him just as we honor Christ in the church. And by honoring him, we do what? Submit. Well, the scripture says, now I'm intending to go this way, but take it for those in need. Most of you don't, so you can throw it away. All right, so this is for those in need. These are for the take from passing out. Things we know you are. But the scripture says this concerning the wife. Who was made first? Who's made first? All right, man, don't tell me. Who made first? Okay, ladies, who made second? Come on, y'all, this sucks. Adam was made first, Eve was made second. Well, you can't have two heads. You can only have one head. When you get two heads, I heard one preacher say you have a what? A monster or a freaking nature. God has order. God has order. So we can't both be the heads. So someone has to submit. But then the head of the man is a woman, but the head of the man is Christ. So as you want your wife to treat you, it's the way you should be acting towards Christ. So if your wife is not a kilter of Christ, how can your wife honor you?
That's right.
Right? God has an order. God has structure. Now when you change it, get rid of that telemate salvation. Salvation is a general thing. What Jesus said, what I say unto what? I say unto
all.
To all. All right. How much more is on that? No, that's the last one. Now, we're going to finish in Daniel chapter 5. I won't get to all the scriptures. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Because we want to deal with pride. Pride is a destroyer. Pride will kill you. Pride will make you do some things that are not in the Word because of yourself being lifted up in your heart. Pride will make you act so ugly that you won't even like yourself. And that's the greatest problem with pride is we begin
rid of that pride. Get rid of that tailor-made salvation. Get rid of making everything fit. You know, like I said, when I wore my brother's shirt, see, on my brother, it looked good. Everything fit and flowed well. On me, I look like the Incredible Hulk. I'll be walking around with it. Joseph, oh my God, you got to wear my shirt again? It was obvious. I couldn't move. I was standing. And then I was too cheap. He wore a size 9, I wore a size 10. I don't know how I squeezed in the shoes. He's like, he used to tell my mother, can you please get that boy out of my clothes? Because they weren't made for me. So they didn't fit. But that's what happened when you start telling me your salvation. It will only fit you. You will only do the things that are pleasing to you. It will only flow right on you. And then when you get in the midst of everybody else, you will stand out like a sore thumb. And then you'll say, everybody don't like me and everybody's picking on me. No, it's not. They aren't the problem. The problem is that your salvation has become a general salvation. You gotta get loose, you gotta let go of that tailor-made. You gotta let go of all those things that's been me since I was 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Because when you got in Christ, the Bible said you were supposed to have become a what?
A new creature.
A what?
New creature.
New creature. All right, Daniel chapter 5. We're going to finish here. Let's go. Okay. Quiet, church. Amen. That's all right. It doesn't matter what we're quiet or not. Let's just let that find a logical place in our hearts. When I leave out the door, it's not important what you think about me. It's important what God thinks about me.
All right.
It's not important about the show that I put on for you or how I act in front of you. God sees me in my quiet times. God sees me when nobody else sees me. See, the strange thing about Lucifer, and we don't want to have a Luciferian mentality. What messed Lucifer up is Lucifer didn't see God. This is what messed Lucifer up. He didn't see God. So he was making all this plan. I'm going to set my throne above the throne of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. He couldn't see God. But God could. There are many times we think and we fail to realize we don't see God. But God sees us. Why? Because he that keepeth Israel, the Bible says, would neither slumber nor sleep. So he sees us when we're happy. Us what we say, and he sees who you fight up and think. So who needs to change? The Bible says concerning the word of God. We act in ourselves. God's word is set forth. It cannot be altered nor changed. So when we do things that are contrary, every sin and every disobedience, the Bible says, receives a what? Just recompense of reward. When you act contrary, though God is merciful and loving, he says you still have to receive the penalty. Because it receives a what? Just recompense of reward. So when I can't stand that brother because of this, because of that, the Bible says you will receive a just recompense of reward because that brother has my spirit. The way you treat him is the way you treat me.
Bring it down.
We have God's spirit. The way you treat him or her, God says that's the way you treat me.
Right.
Because I was outside of them, but now I am in them. And then when you start talking about them, you have become the judge of what kind of thoughts? God says, no, that is sin. We don't want to continue to pattern ourselves according to the world and the things that we used to do. It's time for a change. I'll just read up that. Daniel chapter 5, verse 3. This is when Belshazzar had taken over after his father, and they dishonored God. Whenever we dishonor God, God will always try to get our attention. God will always try to stop us in our track. But we must make that decision. Well, they had dishonored God, and I didn't do
temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them a dishonored God. They should have left God's self alone. See, leave God's self alone. Go ahead. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour, when you start messing with God, God knows how to get your attention. In the same hour came forth the four fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. In other words, all it was a hand. But God started writing. Now, they were drunk. Remember, they were caught up in their own situation. In the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. God didn't need the rest of the body, he just used his hand. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. God got his attention. He got his attention.
Yes, he did.
You can be assured when we're going wrong, when we're dishonoring God, God will get our attention. But we personally have to make the decision to do the right thing. Now, I could have done the right thing, but you don't know. God said, I'm touched with all the feelings of your infirmities because I am God and I live in your flesh. He said, that's why the scripture said, therefore we have a high priest in heaven, therefore we ought to come boldly. Every time we get in trouble, we're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace. That you can obtain what? Mercy. And then God said, I want to give you some grace to help time of need. Most of the time we get in trouble, we go away from God. Wrong. Amen. When you're in trouble, you better run to your source. Jesus said, they that are healthy don't need the physician. But when you're infirm and sick, it's time to come to the physician. Who's our healer? The Bible says he sent his word to you. Heal them. So in your crisis, in your problem, don't run from God. Run to the source of your help. He says, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one. Yes, the king was in trouble. King said, I might be drunk, but I'm sober in a hurry.
Come on.
Because God was about to get my attention, so his knees were shaking. Everything, he was losing it. Because he was going contrary to God. But God, if he could do that to an unrighteous king, how much more saints would he try to get our attention? To get us on the street called straight. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. Yes. We don't care about the astrologers. Soothsayers. Verse 12 says, he called in someone to handle what kind of spirit? Hello? What kind of spirit? When you need him, go to somebody that has what kind of spirit? Don't go with somebody that got a spirit worse than yours. Don't try to get help from a spirit that is worse than yours. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge, spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We don't realize the power that we have in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Bible calls the power in us the same spirit that Daniel had was the dunamis. You know what dunamis means? It means dynamite. It means power to continue to what? Reproduce itself. Let the Holy Ghost work for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let Jesus fix it for you because he knows.
just what to do.
Whenever you pray, let him have his way,
because he knows how to fix it for us.
He says, Spirit of God is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me. Let's give that to the next person. Keep on. And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts, but now that thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. I'm not Bela. You cannot give me the wages of unrighteousness. I refuse to accept anything that does not glorify my Father. So keep it to yourself.
Come on.
You can't make me compromise my faith and my conviction for money. I got to do the one thing, the right thing. Say, yet I will read the right unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Go to the next verse. Keep on. But when his heart was God can't help you full of pride. But God knows how to bring the proud down. When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. You know what he did? He said, he became so lifted up, God made him an animal. And he went around like a wolf. His hook, his fingernails and everything were like that for 7 years until he understood who God was. We don't ever want to be in that position where we become so proud that God has to bring us down that low. He said, how God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled. Because God don't care about your words. God don't care about all that fake stuff. God don't care about all that action that's not real. God judges our hearts. He said, thou hast not
years ago, we were working it all, we had to spring man, don't remember the guy said he had a fight with God?
He broke his arm talking about, I lost.
You're going to lose every time. I said, well, you're right. You fight with God, you're going to lose more than your arm. You better let go and let God. You can't fight God and win. You cannot do things your way and expect to come out a victory. You will lose every time. You said, thou hast lifted up thyself against the law of heaven, and they have brought forth the bread vessels of the house before thee. Go to the next one. Go. Keep on. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many tackle earth for sun. Now, I hope that's not any of us tonight. Lord, keep the handwriting off the wall. I don't need it. And then he said, the thing was, nobody can interpret this, but only the man with the Spirit of God. Go to the next one. He said, this is the interpretation of the thing. Many God have not but thy days and finished. Not with thy kingdom, he said, but it meant your days are finished. We don't have a kingdom, but we have days. But God cannot help us if we are full of pride and refuse to humble ourselves. The scripture says, humble yourselves under the what? Mighty hand of God, and then God will exalt you. Anytime you try to exalt yourself, it's wrong. Because you're full of pride. Let it go. And this is the one we're going to focus on. It says, Tekel means thou art weighed in the a false balance is a what? Abomination before the Lord. A false balance is an abomination before the Lord. Thou art weighed in the balance and thou art found, you're coming up short. When I judge you based on the law of liberty, which is my word, you brothers and sisters, elders and ministers, deacons, whoever you are, you're wanting. You're short. Right. You're not meeting the spiritual standards because you're full of pride. God can't help us. God can't save us. God can't deliver us when we have a tailor-made salvation. The only way God can help us, if we say, dear Lord, I come, withholding nothing. All that I have is on the altar of sacrifice made. Lord, whatever you have to do in the clothing, we're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This is our last scripture. For tonight, I think that gives us enough to think on and enough to work on. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 13. Well, let's go to verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Tailor-made salvation won't get you to heaven, but it will get you to see the handwriting of God in your life. And why is God allowing all of this to happen? So that he can get you on a street called straight. God can't bless us in our wrong. God won't bless us when we're contrary. God won't bless us when we are hearers of the word and not what? Doers. Because the hearer will do what? Deceive himself. A doer will deceive himself and think I'm all right when God says no. But when we are doers of the word, then we fulfill the law of righteousness. And we live in the law of liberty. Well, what's the law of liberty? The word of God. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Our liberty does not come outside of God. Can you imagine if you were trying to get blessed doing the contrary to God? How do you get blessed outside of God? When the Lord is that Spirit, when the Spirit of the Lord is that liberty, and we're walking in the law of liberty, the Bible says we are blessed. Well, what happens when you walk outside of the law of liberty? You lose your blessing. So tonight you make a decision. Blessings or curse. When you're obedient and willing, you receive a blessing. When you're disobedient, you receive a curse. You can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
This is the preaching. He said, I've seen all the works that have done under the sun. Behold, all the vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked, when you don't give heed to the word of God, when you refuse to adhere, when you refuse to stop being you and let God be God of your salvation, when you continue to hold on to your ways, when we hold on to our ways with clean hands, we shall grow stronger. But when your hands aren't clean, don't hold on. Let go of that. You need to have God. That which is cooked and crooked cannot be made straight. You cannot be straight if you don't adhere to the word of God. It just cannot work. And remember, temple means I wage you and you come up what? Wanting. He says, and that which is wanting will not be in the number of the saints. Cannot be numbered. If we want to be pleasing to God, let's surrender all. I surrender what? It's not about me, it's all about Jesus. Isn't that, don't we sing that song? It's not about him. Not about us. It's all about Jesus. Tonight, when we leave, before we leave, as we stand and we prepare to have our altar call, you know, let's do it this way tonight. Everybody, you put it on your heart where you are. Amen. Put it on your heart because, you know, God wouldn't have a message like this unless it's meant for somebody. Right? So stay where you are. The minister's going to come forward to touch and agree, unless you got a sickness or an illness. The minister's come forward. Put your situation on your heart. Remember the scripture said, that which is crooked cannot be made what? Straight. And that which is wanting. Wanting means you come up short. Cannot be numbered. You can't be counted in the saints with the saints of God. It's all about change. It's all about surrendering all. It's all about letting God have his way. If you have an illness, come forward. And let's do this. I want every head bowed, eye hold, eyes closed. If you know God was this one's going to call. Well, let's go after this. If you put your hands up, we don't want anybody looking around God too much. If you know God was speaking to you, put your hands up. And God sees it, and we know it, and if you didn't put your hand up, God knows your heart. Now put your hands down, minister.